Welcome to Omschooling for Spirituality. The Flow is a delightful mix of insight, divine inspiration, and humor, where wisdom meets earthiness to help your ongoing spiritual growth and transformation. Follow the flow of enlightenment and explore everything spiritual through the deepest self-inquiry as student Lisa Berry asks master spiritual teacher G.P. Walsh the kinds of questions you would ask an elder, a wise man, or a sage, and receive direct, simple, comprehensive, and deeply human lessons and teachings. From transcending the experience of separation, releasing old conditioned patterns and wounds, and alleviating suffering, to demystifying esoteric practices and revealing one's true purpose and innate freedom. Welcome to the flow of enlightenment. Transformation is all there is.
Look at that. Let the Omschooling begin. Welcome, everyone. We're here with G.P. Walsh and myself, Lisa Berry. Hello, G.P.
Hello, Lisa. Welcome to Tuesday.
Yes, I love saying that. Everybody, welcome to Tuesday. Well, G.P., this was a very interesting, I wanted to step out of the box, just not for myself, but for everybody. And I went with a little bit of a shocking title for today, which I want to put out the bait for people, which was about, hey, should we just dismiss goal setting and break commitments and break promises and go with a flow? Or does GP have a little something else to say about that?
Yes, no, no, yes.
Yeah. Oh, this one's an interesting one with this, as we dive into this non-duality, because I think that's really, this is shining the light on this, because it's neither this way, it's neither that way. But we do need some clarity and we do need some guidance how to maneuver just going with the flow. Or should we be setting goals, and why bother if we are always where we're supposed to be and everything works out? And, you know, like, why do we have to do such hard work then?
Can you hear me okay? Because I'm having a little trouble here. Okay, good.
Oh yeah, I can hear you.
All right. First off, the first thing we need to look at is our relationship to our life, to our desires. The reason we create goals for a thing. Once you've made it, right? You know, non-duality is not an excuse to flake out on your commitments or your responsibilities. So if anybody was hoping I was going out, sorry. The whole goal setting thing is usually so driven by the ego, and it ends up absorbing so much energy. And if for some reason something unexpected comes up and kind of like throws a huge monkey wrench in the thing, we start feeling guilty. And you know, the people who they're pretty dictatorial.
Yes.
They're pretty unforgiving, right?
Yeah.
You know, I kind of at any given moment you have to head off in some direction, right?
Yes.
If you probably head east, right? If I am, if you want to head west, but it's only direction, right? Because you're so focused on the goal to right this moment is always compared with less than. We feel the absence rather than the presence of it, right? The goal is always, whatever your particular goal for this moment is, the real goal is the same. To be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We don't want to flake out on that goal. We can't flake out on the goal of being happy. Oh,
you can't
flake
out on that one. That's not, you simply to recognize that's really what we're seeking, right? That's really what we're after. We're not after a particular thing or a particular person or a particular state of mind. We're not even after enlightenment, for crying out loud, right?
Yeah.
I mean, who would care about enlightenment or being a Buddha if you're miserable, right? We only care about happiness. So why don't we just be happy for no reason, right? Let's just be happy. Now, how do you do that? That's the question.
Yeah. Right. That's right. And I would like to highlight, JP, here, is that you said enlightenment can't be the goal. That is a really, that's enlightening, actually, to me right now, because I think a lot of us are that's what they're doing. I'm searching for enlightenment. I'm on my way to enlightenment. This is the path of enlightenment.
That's right. I'm almost there.
Yeah.
First one to enlightenment wins. I beat you.
So if we say enlightenment can't be the goal, but happiness is the desire. No, happiness can't be a desire because it's already there.
Well, if you're not experiencing it, it obviously is going to be the desire. You know, that's the whole point. Every goal you set, every desire you have is for happiness. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there anything in your life you've ever done to make yourself miserable?
Well, some people...
It may have, but even the people who like to mess up other people's lives and grumble a lot, that makes them happy.
Ah.
I mean, it's weird, it's distorted, right? No, it's not really happy. It makes them, it's familiar, makes them feel comfortable, makes them feel safe. All's right with the world. I'm pissed off again.
Right? Yeah.
So, we often mistake safety and security for happiness. We also mistake it for freedom. Right? We think, oh, I want to be free. And then we think, well, that means I got to have a lot of money in the bank, so I'll never have to worry about working. I never have any financial worries again. Then I'm free. Well, no. Now you're completely enslaved to money.
Oh, that was really heavy right there, too. We often mistake safety and comfortability for freedom and happiness.
Yes.
I think I have too, probably.
we all have, and of course it's natural. There's a certain amount of stability we want to have, but if we spend our life, trying to attain and then maintain that sense of stability, then we're always on the way. We're never there. I mean, if you're always trying to gain safety or hold on to it, you're never actually able to feel safe in the moment because you're always thinking, well, what could possibly go wrong? You're always trying to shore up against the next disaster, right? Which life will absolutely bring to you. No question, right? Life has made no commitment to leave your ass alone.
Yes. So, okay, this one I like, and then I stopped you on that path because now I want to hear this one. Is the how do we just be happy even when we do we have to first learn how to recognize how we seek happiness? How do we have to have a good relationship on how we know we're happy first so that we can even get there?
Well, that's really artificial, isn't it? I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm happy. Gosh darn it, I'm happy. People like me. Right? I mean, I've got I've got Post-its on my bathroom mirror and stuff, right?
Yeah.
You can't become happy. You can't get happy because it's what you are. You can't attain it.
Right.
You can't attain, blue eyes if you have blue eyes. You can't attain the female body. It's what you are. You can't attain what you already are. This is kind of, I think it was Michelangelo who was asked about sculpting, David or something like that, right? And he said, the statue's in there, the elephant's in the piece of granite, right? So if you want to have the granite turn into elephant, you have to chip away everything that doesn't look like an elephant.
Yes, I love that. So do we actually become anything? Because we already are.
Nothing in particular. No.
And this is the whole goal thing.
I mean, happiness has to be unconditional.
Right.
It can't be attached to something. Because then it's not free. If my happiness is attached to some condition, or some circumstance or some person or some job or some amount of money in the bank, then I am not free. My life will be spent in service of whatever it is I think is maintaining my happiness. I'm a slave. I'm in prison. Maybe a nice prison decorated by Martha Stewart.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
I mean, a beautifully appointed, well-furnished prison cell, but it's prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a strange one. This is the whole non-dual spiritual path is full of this kind of ambiguity. No, you cannot become what you already are. You can't become a Buddha. You already are the Buddha. Mm. But look at all of the thoughts that you have during the day that tell you, I'm not happy. I'm not awake. I'm not whatever.
That I was actually just going to say about is, does it depend on the level of how conscious we are? Because my brain kind of went with, you know, back in, I don't even know, go back to the caveman days, and they'd be happy. They don't care if they're in love with their person. They're happy if they have a cave rock roof over their head and food up the fire. And And they'd say, no, I'm happy because, you know, I have this. But nowadays we hear a lot of people saying, yes, I have this, I have the job, I have the person, I have this, but I'm still not happy. And that's such a common statement. Yeah. I'm still not happy. It's a sadness. That's not free.
It's, yes. And boy, there's so many different ways of looking at that. Nisargadatta put it beautifully, and they asked him how to be happy. And he said, want what you have, don't want what you don't have. I think it was about 10 years ago, I saw this study, and they do it every couple of years. The UN funds this study on happiness. What are the happiest countries in the world?
Yes.
And interestingly enough, the richest countries are not. Mm-hmm. The US was like 56th, oof, which is the richest country in the history of the world. Wow. The most happy countries in the world, Pakistan, Serbia, you know, these places, because we live in the West, in a world where the whole world is driven by money, and it's driven by the accumulation of wealth. And the way to get people to buy a lot of stuff is make them want a lot of stuff, and that's all marketing is. Marketing is a way of convincing you that you need stuff you don't actually need, and then be unhappy that you don't have it. So that, of course, you'll seek the happiness, and then the happiness gets associated with a certain thing or person or job or whatever it is. But then we get it and we go, why am I not happy?
Mm. Yes.
Because happiness is not in the thing you're seeking. Have you ever met a happy dollar bill?
Oh, that's funny. I did picture a dancing one just for a second, but then I go ahead. So does that mean that we cannot? So it's not that we cannot be happy with stuff, though. We can have all the stuff and be happy, but it's not dependent on it. It's
yes. If I'm happy whether I have it or not. So so even having it isn't a problem. It isn't a spiritual challenge, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Christ put it perfectly. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. He didn't say, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven so that all these things will be added unto you.
Right.
He said, and they will be. Yeah, it's okay. But you know, you can't guarantee you're going to be able to hold on to any of those things. You know, I've had times when I've had a lot of money, right? And then times when I lost it all.
Oh, right.
I had a friend
of
mine.
And were you not a little sad, a little unhappy when you lost it?
It was a setback, but because the last time I lost it, because it's happened more than once, right? But the last time, it was, you know, yeah, okay. I felt the dependency I had on it, right? That I had developed an expectation of it. And so I felt what could have turned into misery, but instead I just put a big smile on my face. That's what I said, well, what I do? I think I'll go to India. And that's what I did.
You went where all the happy people are.
Yes, where happy people are. And they are. It's amazing. Yes. It's amazing. They have off your back.
You know,
they don't think anything of it.
You said two words that were huge right there. That really is. You said dependency because you felt the dependency, and expectation. And I wanted to bring it around to status because you talked about money. Money is one thing, and then. Like a goal can also be, okay, I don't need to have, you know, $1 million in the bank. It could be, I really want this title, or I need to achieve this certificate, or an achievement of status. So it's, but then you said about if you start depending on it, like I won't be happy until, mm-hmm. or if I don't.
Yes.
Should we be breaking these commitments? Should we?
To do is every commitment in your life, you better look at what it is that you're expecting to get from it, because nobody makes a commitment just for the sake of making a commitment. There's always a payoff. What's the payoff? Right?
I like that.
And maybe the payoff is people like me, right? If you're always deferring to other people or you're a people pleaser, right? Mm-hmm. Then the payoff is they like me, right? But then you realize that your sense of well-being is dependent upon them liking you. And as long as it depends on them liking you, you'll do whatever they ask you to do. You'll never say no. Now you're enslaved to them. A realization like that, which is hard to hear, right?
Yeah.
Is quite liberating, right?
Yes.
So why did we make the commitments in the first place? Right. And then I would say, can that commitment be broken? Is it a sacred vow?
Right.
Or is there a way to need it less than? Can it be renegotiated? Right. There's nothing absolute, right?
Yes.
But we think these commitments we've made to others, and but more importantly, the commitments we've made to ourselves, I sometimes call them unconscious vows, deep energetic vows. That are they real? Are they serving a purpose anymore? Are they actually even delivering to you what you made the commitment for?
Okay, those are all amazing questions. I'm so glad you said those. We're going to sneak away to commercial, but when we're back, I have written those down because those, wow, I think people, that's where we're going to go. We're going to jump into the flow of these deep, deep, cherished vows that we are just, yes, we're going to jump into this. Back on The Flow of Enlightenment with GP Walsh and myself, Lisa Berry.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
And we are back. Thank you guys for joining us. We have a fun invitation, actually. Should we maybe jump into the invitation first for a fun party.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Party time.
All right, everybody. Well, we are really, really excited because for the last few months, we've been working together with some incredible people pulling together. Well, Aisha Hogan is the visionary of all this and creating iAwesome. And so we're having a party. It's a launch party. And we're so, we can finally, it's weird. I feel like we're saying it's finally here, but really, you know, 5.5 months. It's not like it's 10 years in the making.
Yeah. No, but it's been a while. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So everybody, we're inviting you to this Thursday. So like in 48, 50 some odd hours, we should do a little countdown here, to the iAwesome launch party. Now, iAwesome, you guys, stands for, and you've heard us because they are a sponsor of us. We're partners with them. It stands for International Academy of Universal Self-Mastery. And that's what GP, you're here all the time helping us with our self-mastery and guiding us along the way. And
that's what you guys, I do.
This is a 2-hour full of super fun, like just by showing up and, you know, wearing some fun purple or decorating or just hearing what you've self-mastered, or maybe there's something that you would like to self-master. It's a great way to meet the faculty, see the courses that are out there, really be inspired by some of our speakers. But what we're going to have you do is register, because there's some prizes to be won. So maybe if you can't make it, we can still have you see the replay and be a part of this. But we're going to send you over to GP Walsh, gpwalsh.com/party, P-A-R-T-Y, party. and register there. I think that's going to be fun because I know you're going to be there, GP, and I'm going to be there.
Yep, I am. And actually, I have two things I'm giving away. I'm giving away a copy of my latest music album called Face in the Water. And I'm also giving away a collection of meditations called Allow Your Life.
Allow your life.
Which is like, five different full-length meditations with the music and everything. So I'll be giving both of those away. There's a lot of stuff being given away. And I'm very supportive of iAwesome, International Academy of Universal Self-Mastery. I'm not supportive of it being such a long name, but but I chose to become a faculty member there because I just like creating an environment without advertising, without marketing pitch, without, you know, you're not going to get inundated with, you know, somebody complaining about politics or somebody trying to sell you something every time you turn around. It's completely it's completely free of all of that. So I definitely wanted to support it. And I'm putting my courses up there as well. So I'm totally into it.
I know. And you know what? It's even the party's free. It's not like where there's no tickets to buy. You just literally sign up and then come join us. And I know that one of the gifts, and I just have to, I just love this name because what came up with it, and that's where I love being creative there. It's a great space for me to be creative and have everybody else, you know, have fun with me. But we are giving away something called the Mastery Mix 2020. I feel like I've created like a dance CD here. Mastery Mix 2020. And I know I've got a couple tracks on there. Tomas Garza did, like we all do, the whole council does. So yeah, super important. You guys go to gpwalsh.com/, I think you call it backsplash. Haha.
No, forward slash party.
Forward slash party. But jumping back into this, I'm loving this conversation because you know what it is, GP, is that a lot of people will make commitments. They think, oh, like self-mastery. Oh, I'm going to take a course. I'm going to take this course on, I don't know, how to improve my sleep. Right? I'm gonna figure out how to maximize my sleep, maybe have some lucid dreaming, maybe just restore and get healthy. And that's, and it's gonna make them happy. They're committed to it, they start taking it, and life shows up. You know, other things that they're allowing. Mm-hmm. And this is why I wanted to bring the practical part of your teachings to help us, is we do believe that we'll be happier when we get a better night's sleep or when we can, you know, astral travel, I don't know, all these fun things. But then we change our minds.
You can get to the gym, right?
Yeah, you can get to the gym. What do we do when we go, well, you know what, if it was meant to be, I just will. Or maybe I'm not meant to be sleeping because I'm supposed to be awake all the time so that I could catch the burglar that broke into the neighbor's house. If I wasn't awake, I wouldn't have seen it. I don't know, I'm making all this stuff up. But, you know, like, what can we justify and validate all the things, good or bad, that in our lives as excuses or to get us out of commitments? Or are there really a time where you were just walking us through that about, are these sacred vows that we have with ourselves?
All of the above. I laugh because the human mind is so capable of self-deception.
Yes.
You know, first we decide what it is we want to do or not want to do, and then we come up with a really good reason why it's the right thing. Simply because we are so out of touch with ourselves, we don't really know what we want. We're confused. What we think we want isn't really going to satisfy us. We're just really out of touch with ourselves. That's what it comes down to. You can't force yourself to be better, yet at the same time, every single individual has this natural need. It's not even a desire, it's a need, being human, to evolve and to grow. And so non-duality is the most unusual approach to this, because it says both are true. It depends on what you are growing from and what you are growing to. Right? Mm. If you're starting from the fact that I'm broken, there's something wrong, I got to be fixed, something has to change in order for me to be happy, well, you cannot get a happy result from an unhappy process. You have to start with happiness. But, you know, people say, well, if I was just happy now, I wouldn't do anything. What would I do? Where, you know, I wouldn't need anything, or I wouldn't need anybody. And I say, well, you know, if something really good happens to you, and something really wonderful, really makes you happy, lights you up, this great thing has taken place, do you just, like, sit in the corner and chant Om? Or do you call all your friends? Do you want to share the news? Do you want to share the what it is? I mean, of course we do, right?
Yeah.
Happiness is a motivator. It makes things happen. Mm. It doesn't deliver things to you. The non-dual life completely does a 180 on our motivation. We don't do things to get do things to give. Mm. Because we have so much and it's overflowing and we can't help it coming out, there's no choice but to share it. Mm. No choice. That's also called love, by the way.
Let's give it another name. I like that name. Oh, happiness is a motivator. Oh, gosh, because there's a lot in there. Because, yeah, it's not an end game. It's not the thing. It's before. It's the fuel. It's the...
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So you express happiness. You don't gain it.
Ooh, that one's good too. Oh gosh, okay.
Hey, okay. I'm in meme mode today.
Yes, you are. I want to create so many t-shirts right now. So somebody, I'm really bringing this down to the person listening who's just like, no, I am sitting in the corner, not chanting, I'm sitting in the corner looking at, and why should I be happy? I never win. I never get anything. Somebody else always gets it first or before me, or I'm not, all these things. Like, how does that person pull that all that crap off them to have the happiness be sparked, or like to see it, to feel it, then to express it? And do we ever run out of happiness? Well, do we always have enough to express? I double questioned you. I'm sorry.
And a follow-up question, sir. Well, life has a most beautiful way of showing us when it's time to kind of get out of our rut. It's called suffering, right? Mm. You know, I can sit here and peep and mutter and complain about all sorts of things. And when I run out of people who are willing to listen to me, and there is no more satisfaction in it, I've got nothing blocking the fact that I'm simply miserable. Now, when the realization of misery dawns on somebody, you immediately get into action in doing whatever it takes to get out of it, right?
Yes.
It's just the way it is. That's what suffering is for. It's, you know, you stick your hand in the fire, it hurts, you take it out, right? You don't put it, you know, don't keep it in there going, this is my fire, I'll do what I want on my hand. You just don't do it. But emotionally we do, because we're attached, because there's still this little voice saying, yeah, but if you do it just a little bit longer, if you just kind of stick those nails in just a little bit longer, it'll be great. And of course it's not true. But at a certain point we realize this isn't true. It is never going to deliver me what I think it is. Then the motivation takes place. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to become disciplined. You don't have to, you know, set up a goal program or take some success. You'll just do it because everything in you will be leading you. And as you do that, and you begin to discover an internal happiness, it's self-perpetuating. I mean, we always go back to that which makes us feel good. Right? If what's going back to make us feel good is our actual selves, well, then what limit could there possibly be on it? Is there a limit to you? Is there a limit to being? Happiness is infinite. Happiness is a component of being. In Sanskrit, they have a term for it, Sat Chit Ananda. Being, consciousness, bliss. Existing, know you exist, and the knowledge of your existence is utter bliss, peace, stillness, contentment, which is kind of a, which is the better word for happiness, because for our, in our culture, happiness tends to be a more the emotional high, right?
Yes.
Right, which is okay. It, you know, we like our emotional highs. I get the new car. I get that date I've really wanted to have. Right? Yeah. There's a high there, but it can't last. No high can last. It's always got to go the other direction. And if it did last, you'd be looking for something higher, because now it's not interesting anymore. Right? But this kind of happiness is a contentment. It's just simply, it's a baseline of imperturbability or equanimity. Just life is okay just as it is. And yes, sometimes it's going to feel great. Sometimes it's not going to feel great. Sometimes I'm going to feel just overwhelmed with ecstasy. Other times I'm going to be overwhelmed with grief. That's life. And I can't have one without the other, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But I am not dependent upon whether or not it goes up and down. That's contentment. Now I'm free to experience life as it is, fully, completely.
So you can express happiness even in when you are content, that you there's, okay, I've got to back up, hold on a second here, because I was excited about the I was like, okay, wait, so suffering is actually a motivator. And then my brain went to thinking of addicts, and they are searching for that high. So, you know, whatever is, it doesn't matter whatever the addiction is too. But then they finally realize that, wow, I am actually suffering. So it's now becoming a tool, a motivator. And and they're motivated, the suffering is motivating them to stop that which they thought would bring them happiness. But now they realize, wow, I'm really, I'm not happy.
Well, it did bring them happiness at first.
Yes.
I want to point that out. I was an addict. You know, I started doing drugs when I was 15. When I was 19, I basically had a revelation from on high that took me out of it. But I know what it is. You know, your nose itches and you're scratching your butt. It's the right action. It's the wrong place. Right? Because there is a relief, right?
Yes.
The first time I got high, it's the first time I could remember in my life I actually relaxed, because my home life was just tense all the time. It was nothing but turmoil. And so, you know, first time I got stoned, it was like, oh, wow. You're damn straight. I went back to it again and again and again. But then it, of course, but it's transient. It's temporary. Mm-hmm. That high becomes the new normal. Now you got to go to somewhere else, go somewhere else, go somewhere else, go somewhere else. And that's the problem. It was a temporary solution. So it's easy to understand, you know, somebody does too much shopping, too much, or running up their charge cards. There's a certain high they get at the end, right? But then that high is followed by a crash, and we don't look at what is the underlying feeling that's making me reach for that thing. That we don't do. We don't turn towards that. And that's the emotional turmoil. That's the part of us that is needing to be fed. And, you know, that's where you, if somebody starts to do that, they've started on the spiritual path, or at least the path of personal development, where there's certain amount of consciousness has arisen. I want to find the source of this. I want to genuinely be happy. And if you really have that as a desire, the right path to happiness will eventually show up. Maybe not at first, but eventually it will. And you'll find all of the things that have gotten in the way of happiness begin to be clear. You become conscious of them. They begin to fall away, and you find that the happiness is what you are. Eventually, not always at first.
This is a personal question for you. In your situation, what you were searching for, that you enjoyed, was that relaxation. Did you, when you did realize that was what it was, is that what you started looking at the things that were keeping you from feeling relaxed, and you started removing them so that you could be relaxed?
Well, I was a kid, right? I was a yeah. messed up kid, completely dysfunctional kid. Right, from a totally dysfunctional family. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I had a great deal of clarity. The only thing I had is that after a certain amount of time, my personality just started getting darker and more cynical. And, you know, by the time I was 19, I knew that this was going nowhere. I thought this was it. My life was over. And but I had no idea how to get out of it. You know, I had no exposure to anything. I mean, I didn't know. I didn't know what to do. And so there was kind of a divine intervention. And I think that probably the key that opened up that door, that I didn't even realize what I was looking for or why, or even that I was looking. Mm-hmm. But suddenly after I'd had that experience, which I've talked about a lot, and I don't want to go into it because it takes a while to tell the story. I felt loved, and I'd never felt that before.
Oh, you felt loved.
I had no idea what that was. It was like, what? It was. It just blew me away. But within a couple months, it all just fell away. All of it was just gone.
Mm. And on that...
And I didn't do anything.
We'll sneak away to commercial, but I want everybody to feel that, just that right there, that you finally felt loved. And I want to, when we come back, everybody, listeners, just I'm going to ask GP the question, can we or should we even be making a commitment to being content? So when we come back, in the flow to enlightenment. Of enlightenment, what are we talking about?
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
Well, welcome back, everyone. And we are going to make another invitation, not to a party, but it's kind of a party. It's a party right here on this show right now. And we are inviting you guys to call in and ask GP a question. Whether it, like, we'll try to stay on topic here today, which we're doing about, you know, commitments and promises and goal setting and keeping on that path. And of course, now we've brought in happiness. And if you're not feeling happy and you're wondering, like, how the heck do I get to my happiness? Then we are inviting you to call in. The number to call in is 202-570-7057, and that is the Ohm Times radio station number. So if you need to look that up, you can as well. But 202-570-7057. And GP, I'm coming back to the word content. And I have to tell you something funny about this word. This word, my God, this word. A lot of people say I'm happy. I'm connected with happiness. That's my whole life. And I was in a relationship once, and it was, the word content was used as an insult towards me. And I had a bad relationship with it because this fellow would always say to me, what's wrong with you? You're just content with life all the time. And it was said with such disdain, like, ugh. And I got a little like, my God, I have no aim in life. I'm just content. My God, I'm a horrible person. And so now you're saying this word is so similar, but like some people do feel like that word, you're just content living here like this. You know, why do some people have a negative thing with that?
Well, they've misassociated it. Right.
Yes.
You know, if your whole life is being driven by discontent, you know, you're going to look at somebody who is content and you're going to interpret it as being, they don't have any ambition. Lazy. They don't have any.
Yes.
Yeah. They're lazy. There's things that need to be done. Shouldn't you be doing things? And it's like,
yes.
No, no, not really. Right. I'm going to get to content. Boy, when I get to content, I'm really going to be content, right? And it's like, what?
It's exactly it.
It's like the story of the rich guy talking to the fisherman, telling him who's just sitting on the shore. He said, "Well, I'm done my fishing." He says, "Well, why don't you get another boat?" And he gives him this whole thing about getting another boat and get another boat. And he have a fleet of boats, and then he could have all sorts of things. And then think of all the money that we have, and then he could retire. And he says, "Well, then what do we do when we retire?" "Well, you could sit by the shore here and watch the water." He says, "Well, that's what I'm doing now."
I love that. Oh my gosh. Okay, that is a huge enlightenment right now, because you're right. This fellow that I'm referring to was I was like, I don't want your life. You are, that sounds like you're working hard to get to what I am right now. And exactly. Yes. The boat story. That is perfect. And so when people do, is that their ego? That's does our ego want us to be happy?
Yes.
It does.
No.
No.
No, it does not.
No,
the ego is the activity. It's a word we have for the activity of unhappiness and dissatisfaction. That's what the ego is.
Whoa. The ego is,
it isn't
the
something
word
that can be happy. It is the word for unhappiness. Unhappiness is the nature of the ego. You cannot have a happy ego. It will always go, well, that was okay, but, you know, what about this? It's that state of mind. That's what it does. And that state of mind, I mean, it's a killer. It does nothing but create suffering. So the ego cannot be happy. It's not possible. Happiness belongs to the self, not to the ego.
That was like,
if the ego could be happy, we could get stuck in it forever.
Oh, yeah. But yet still, the ego does serve a purpose. And maybe is the ego what helps us stay committed to goals, promises, commitments? Again.
Oh, boy, the ego. We could do a whole show on that. We could do a whole series of shows on the ego. Eventually, I'm sure we will. No. You can't sustain that because the ego does things for itself. It does things to try to be happy, but it is insatiable. It cannot be made happy. In Buddhism, they refer to it as the hungry ghost. And the hungry ghost is this mythological creature with this enormous head and mouth and a huge belly with just this huge insatiable appetite. But his neck is thinner than a human hair. He can't ever digest anything he consumes. So he is forever hungry, hungry. That's
that
the ego.
That's horrible. Yeah. That is like suffering. Oh, my
gosh.
Yes,
it does. Yes. Well, that's it. That's the hell, right? The fire of hell, the desire that's never quenched. Mm. That's hell. The ego and hell are synonymous terms. If you're trying to satisfy the ego, it's like trying to satisfy a politician, you know? More. I want more. I mean, you can't do it. It can't happen. So the ego as there is an aspect of the ego which is simply a sense of who you are in this moment. But the ego we're referring to is a psychological state of clinging to a particular sense of identity. I am this, and this is what I am, and this is all I'm going to be, and don't tell me I'm not, and blah, 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 blah. Whereas the actual ego is just a sense of identity. It comes and goes. It appears, it disappears. You know, you're a different person with your friends than you are with your lover, than you are with your parents, than you are with your children, than you are with your employers, than you are employees.
Yes.
You know, these are all different personas that we appear to. But we have this idea that there's this one that's actually me. It's not. And thinking that there are is the cause of all suffering, and that's where the misery comes from. You're not any of those things.
Oh,
you are
gosh.
Whatever you happen to be in this moment.
Okay, that's crazy. So, well, thanks. You just helped me answer a question. I was like, yeah, I'm kind of a little bit slightly different. You know, in front of my dad was over, my sister was over, and I'm like, okay, I can be that person with both of them, but I'm a little bit different with my sister. And then I would question, like, well, who am I really? But the answer you're saying is none of them.
None of them.
That's crazy.
You're nobody in particular.
No.
You just are. That's it's happiness. Like I just
there's
am.
There's no perfect outfit. It's the outfit that works for that event. It's
in that moment, yes.
In that moment.
There's no perfect person. There's only the person you become in that moment, which is appropriate for that moment. And when that moment's over, you hang them up in the closet, right? You don't need them anymore. The mistake we make, I am one of these people, and then I show up everywhere as that person and wonder why it doesn't work.
Yeah. Like, darn it, I should have wore the other one.
yeah, that's right. that's absolutely correct, yeah.
Is that kind of like nobody. Is that with the commitment then? So perhaps you do decide or create or make a commitment or a promise or a goal, set a goal, and it in that moment, it does. It fits, it works, that's the right. And then it's when we feel the suffering or when we feel the when we no longer feel content, is that when we know to hang that one back up in the closet?
Well, yeah. And if you're going to become wise, you need to look at why you're making the commitment in the first place. Who were you when you made that? Right?
Right.
And the one, you know, you may have been somebody when you made that commitment thinking you're going to be that one, you know, a year from now or 3 years from now. Mm-hmm. And so now you're trying to keep it, and it isn't even a commitment really that you made, and it isn't satisfying to the you are now. So you'd be very slow to make commitments, and always make them in such a way as they're open-ended. And probably the most dramatic of all is a marriage, right, where you're committed to each other, or a permanent commitment for life. You're not going to be the same person tomorrow, let alone 10 years from now. So how do you sustain such a thing? Well, if you think you're going to, if you try to be the same person or want them to be the same person, you're going to fail, period.
Yes.
Right? But if you're both willing to just grow and see who shows up the next day and see if you still like each other, the chances are extremely good that could last a lifetime.
I love that. A fun thing. So every morning I wake up, I say to my guy, "Welcome to life." It's, you know, first I'm sure he thought it was a bit wacky. What? Same old. No, it's the new life today. Welcome, welcome.
It's a new one. It's a brand new one. Virgin birth.
It's a brand new one.
Hit the baby.
Who are you today? Nice to meet you.
It's very true. It's very true. Yeah.
I like that. And I am lucky to say I've been divorced, my gosh, almost 20 years now, 17 years separate. And, you know, it was very amicable because we woke up one day and said, you know what? I don't think today we're the people who are for, you know, set for each other's growth in the next direction. But let's be friends. And I'm so happy to say that was. And I wish that a lot of other people, no matter if it's with a relationship, a marriage, or whatever, a workplace, maybe you decide to live somewhere and you sign a lease and then now you need something different. So that's we're really hitting this now. And I think that's exactly if you trust and should we believe, I guess, is the question, that everything is always working out. We are where we're supposed to be. And use that to figure out why we're making the commitment that day with who we are that day to our knowledge.
Well, how else could it be, right? No, nothing is the way it should be. Well, what? please show me what it should be, and I'll take it up with God or whatever, right? I mean, right. I mean, no. Anytime you say it should be different, that is the ego. The ego does, that's the discontent. I don't like this moment. It should be that moment. And the moment you say that, you create suffering. You create misery.
Yes.
Right?
That's, yes.
You're comparing what's actually happening to some imaginary state you think is better in the future or somewhere else, which means you don't actually see now and find that it is perfect absolutely now. Everything is unfolding exactly the way it's supposed to, according to its design and its destiny, not yours. Life makes no concessions to the ego. None.
That is true. So on the flip side of that, GP, what about a Pollyanna, that term where somebody just finds goodness in everything? Is this... is it delusional to be?
Well, if it's naive,
right?
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, we can be naive. We still have to be wise. There are people who will take advantage of you. You know, I mean, there has to be an openness. Just because I expect everything to be, you know, to just flow very, very smoothly, that also means that flow makes me very aware of some place where I don't want to flow. No, this is not the direction. I don't go swimming with sharks.
Right.
Okay? Pollyanna wouldn't go swimming with sharks. Why? Because they're sharks. They're not going to become vegans anytime soon. This is what they are. And so, okay. So I will then accommodate that. The Pollyannish idea is that, oh, everything is just, it is thinking everything is the way you think it is once again. It's just on the other side. Oh, it's all miserable. No, it's all beautiful. Yes, it is all beautiful, right? But it is the way it is, you know? Life survives by eating other life, okay? Yes. This is a fact. So to truly embrace it as it is wisdom, and then you can watch it flow, and you will find that it is benevolent, that even the things that you thought were so horrible, well, no, life eating life is the only way it can survive on a planet where everything around the planet is absolutely empty. Nothing can survive. This is how you make a perfectly recyclable system that could last forever unless we humans mess it up.
Right, which is possible.
We're trying very hard.
Yes, I like that. To embrace it as it is wisdom. And that, that goes so many layers deep now of my learning from you. So thank you so much, because my brain just went, oh, yeah, because you said that and that's that. Well, I think if we're allowed to, I think we are, because this is homeschooling. I would like to ask everybody just the nice, fun homework would be, and you can help me clean this up, is when we make commitments or promises or all these goal setting, is
to ask ourselves, to explore, to self-inquire why we made it in the first place. Did I word that properly? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. What was the payoff? What was I expecting to get out of it?
Yes, that yeah. helped it too.
That right. was always the reason I made it. I made it to get happiness, right?
Yeah.
Did it work?
Did it work? Is
Simple.
It working? Yeah. And if it's
Is it
not
still
working?
Working?
Yes. Yeah. So these are the things. And what could help you is by attending the launch party on Thursday.
Is that a great segue or what? You know, that was almost like the Mutual of Omaha. And just like this panther eats its prey, Mutual of Omaha Insurance will eat your money.
But I would love to, I think both of us would love to hear what you guys are coming up with as an answer. If you want to share, or if you can't figure it out, you don't know why you made the commitment and you need a little bit of guidance, then please reach out to GP or myself. And where is the best place for them? Let's do that invitation. That would be to go to
the
website.
We have an email set up for them, right?
Yeah.
Questions@gpwalsh.com. Yeah.
There you go. Questions@gpwalsh.com. And then sign up for the launch party. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. Oh,
and come to the launch party. gpwalsh.com/party.
Party. And always get us on Facebook, too, if you have any and you can't figure out where we are. But thank you so much. And thank you, GP,
we can find
for your
it. We're not hard
lessons.
To find. Yeah, we're not hiding.
hiding out with happiness. No. Okay. All right, guys. Well, hopefully see you Thursday. Otherwise, tune in next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and we will continue the flow to be in the flow of enlightenment. Okay, bye, GP. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.